Welcome to the podcast of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by our associate pastor, Becca Bruner.
So what is Easter all about? Is it about butterfly crackers? To some kids today, maybe. That might be what they get out of it. Is it about chocolate and eggs and bunnies and flowers? To some, perhaps. Well, I'm going to give you a one-sentence thesis statement. If you get nothing else out of this today, and I hope you get a whole lot more, but if you walk away with one thing, it's this. Easter means death is not the end. Easter means that death is not the end. It's kind of a funny thing in our day. We talk about almost anything, but we don't like to talk about death. We don't like to think about death. We don't like to say the word death. You know, we've got a game. We call it life. Nobody plays a game called death, not that I know of anyway. We eat a breakfast cereal called life. No breakfast cereal called death, at least that I know of. Maybe you could come up with one for people who have a really hard time getting up in the morning. We buy a product called life insurance. Now, this is kind of odd because what do you have to do to collect it? You gotta die. You don't buy it in case you live, but nobody calls it death insurance. That'd be too depressing. We don't know how to handle death. It hasn't always been this way. For many generations, when parents would tuck their children into bed at night, they would have them say this little prayer. Many of you probably know it. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. We know this prayer. This is familiar. Parents used to teach their kids to pray this because they wanted their children to know that death is real. But death is not the end. Death is not the end. There's another way to think about all this. Does anyone recognize the name Mel Blanc? Anyone know that name? He's the creator and the voice behind all of the cartoons in Looney Tunes. And at the end of every Looney Tunes movie or show, Porky Pig would come on the screen and he would always say the same thing. What did he say? That's all, folks. Whoa, the choir was in on that. I liked that. Sounds like we practiced. That's all, folks. Several years ago, Mel Blanc died. Do you know what his family wrote on his tombstone? That's all, folks. So here's the question of Easter, which is true. He is risen indeed, or that's all, folks. Does death mean that the show is over, or is it possible? Is it possible that somewhere, somehow, the real show, it's just getting started? We're going to talk a little bit about life and death together as we look at a story from the Bible, a story that's about life and death, and then life again. It's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, starting at the first verse. John tells us, "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother, Lazarus, was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, 'Lord, he whom you love is ill.' But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.' Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, 'Let us go to Judea again.'" Now we'll skip ahead to verse 17. "When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Death is not the end, but death is real. Death is very real, which is to say, death is universal. It's unavoidable. Death comes for everyone. Death even comes for those whom Jesus deeply loves. Did you notice two times in this passage, John tells us how much Jesus loved Lazarus? Jesus was close friends with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, all of them. He loved them. And yet, Lazarus still died, as will the rest of us. Last I checked, mortality rate, it's hovering right around 100%. None of us are getting out of this thing alive. But we don't really like to think about that, do we? Woody Allen once said, I'm not afraid of death. I just don't want to be there when it happens. That sounds just about right to most of us. It's up to us, we'd rather avoid death altogether. There's this house out in Northern California. It's one of those weird California things. It's called the Winchester Mystery House. It's a tourist stop now, but it was built many years ago by Mrs. Winchester. And Mrs. Winchester, well, she was deathly afraid of death. And she convinced herself that as long as she kept working on her house, as long as she kept adding to it and building on it, death, well, it wouldn't ever be able to find her. So build she did. For 38 years, 16 carpenters worked on that house every single day, adding room after room after room. This house, it has 2,000 doors and 160,000 windows. There are stairs that lead only to a ceiling. There are doors that open to brick walls. It's a total mess, but Mrs. Winchester, she had a plan. She had a plan. She said, if I make this house big enough, if I make it confusing enough, death, it's going to get confused, and it'll never be able to find me. But of course, it did. Death came for Mrs. Winchester just as it will eventually come for each and every one of us. Death is real, and we have to contend with that. But death is not the end. Jumping back into the story again, starting at verse 21. Martha said these heartbreaking words to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. But Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, the teacher is here and he's calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with Mary in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying? Death is real. And death, It's our enemy. Death is an enemy. Besides outright denial, another way we kind of try to avoid the ugly reality of death is we sentimentalize it. See, we try to calm our fears about death by softening it. We say things like, oh, you know, death, it's a beautiful thing. It's a peaceful thing. Death is just the final stage of life. Or when somebody we know loses a loved one, we try to comfort them by saying things like, oh, well, you know, she's in a better place. God must have needed him more than we do. We soften it, we sentimentalize it, we try to make death a friend, but you know, anyone who has ever lost someone that they loved, you know death is no friend of ours. Death is no friend. Death is a painful, dislocating, ravaging, sin-reminding evil. Death is no friend of ours, and death was no friend of Jesus. Jesus hated death. He hated it. Think about it. Why did Jesus weep here in this story? Why did he weep when Lazarus died? Shortest verse in the Bible, but oh, it speaks volumes. Jesus wept. Why? I mean, he knows the end of the story. He knows in just like 1 minute he is about to raise Lazarus from the dead. So why is he crying? Because he knows that death is an enemy. He hates it. Standing before that tomb that stinks of death, Jesus is fully aware of what sin and death have brought into this world. The pain and the sorrow, the suffering and the loss, the tragedy and the injustice, and Jesus hates it. He hates what it has done to his friends. He hates what it has done to this world. He hates it so much that in a few days, he is going to go head to head with death itself. On Friday, Jesus will let his enemies nail him to the cross. On Friday, he will let death have its way with him. But come Sunday, he's going to win. Jesus wept because death is an enemy. But then Jesus wiped his eyes because he knew that death is not the end. Let's finish this story up, verse 38. Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, very practical one here, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, for he has been buried 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." You know, I can see 40 coming closely off the horizon. I plan on having a really big party when I turn 40, just letting you know. When people turn 50, 60, those big ages, people have really epic parties. I can't imagine the size and depth and breadth of this alive again party. How do you celebrate alive again? That had to be a really big party, but you know what? We don't know anything about it. They must have done something to celebrate, but John tells us nothing about it. He doesn't mention it because John wants us to know that this is not the ultimate resurrection story. This isn't the ultimate resurrection story because though Lazarus was raised from the dead, he was still mortal. He was raised from the dead, but he would one day die again. The ultimate resurrection story is Jesus' story. When Jesus came out of the tomb, death was finished. He was not subject to it anymore. He had mastered life, and in his resurrection, he had mastered death. Jesus' story, his is the ultimate resurrection story. So what does that mean for our story? Well, that means when death comes for somebody who puts their trust in Jesus, somebody who follows him, that's not all, folks. For Jesus' followers, death is not the end. As writer Anne Lamott puts it, for the Christian, death is just a change of address. Easter means that death is not the end. That's what Easter means for Jesus, and that's what it can mean for you today if you can put your trust in him. If you can give as much of yourself as you can to as much of Jesus as you understand, if you can do that, you can have hope. You can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that your death will simply be a change of address. Death will in no way be the end. I want to close this morning with a story. I read it in a sermon by John Ortberg, who in turn learned it from a sermon by an African-American preacher, a guy named Bishop Ken Ulmer. And as I do, I actually want to invite Michael and the band and the choir. I want you to just get ready. The band can kind of come up here and get set up. I want you to get ready. As Michael sometimes puts it, we're going to have some church. See, y'all already came here and you're at church, and that's good. But now in a second here, we're going to have some church. We're going to celebrate. So I want you, I want them to be ready. Michael knows what we're doing. See, in this story, we're told about two men. They go to an art museum, and they're walking through the gallery, and they come across a painting of a chess game. And in this painting, there's two characters. One looks like a man, and one looks a whole lot like the devil. And this man has one last piece on the chessboard. And the title of the piece is called Checkmate. So these two friends are looking at this painting, and one of them, as it so happens, is an international chess champion. And he's looking at it, and he's intrigued by it. He begins to study it. And his friend notices as he's studying it, he kind of starts acting a little weird, a little funny. He starts kind of whispering under his breath and moving his hands and doing this stuff and just looking a little crazy. And he does that for quite a while until finally he bursts out. He says, "Ah, the painting is wrong. The painting is wrong. We got to find the man who made this painting. We got to let him know." His friend kind of naturally is a little confused. He says, well, what's wrong with it? He says, "Well, it's called Checkmate, but that's wrong. The painter's either got to change the painting or change the title because the king still has one more move." Now, this story was told originally in a mostly African-American congregation, and they knew at this point something was going on, so they started making a little bit of noise. We're Presbyterians, so you know we're excited when we nod our heads ever so slightly. And you know it's getting good when somebody goes, But sometimes we need to be reminded when we're getting to the good part. So I'm reminding you right now, this is the good part. The king still has one more move. There you go. I knew you had it in you. See, a little boy named David is up against a giant named Goliath. David tries to put on King Saul's armor, but Saul is a 52 long, David 36 short. He can't even handle a full-size sword. It looks like checkmate, but the king still has one more move. A man named Daniel gets thrown into a den of lions because he refuses to stop praying to his God. Those lions are hungry, and Daniel is in there all night long. At dawn, King Darius rushes down to see if Daniel is still okay. Daniel tells him he's fine. Those lions, they have been put on a low-protein diet because the king still has one more move. A man named Moses convinces a nation of oppressed slaves to run away from the most powerful man on earth. Pharaoh sends an army after them. They are standing on the shore, the Red Sea in front of them, the fiercest army in the world behind them. And the people turn to Moses and they say, "What were you thinking?" And Moses turns to God and he says, "What were you thinking?" But it's all about to be okay, Because the king still has one more move. For Jesus going down to Judea to raise his friend Lazarus from the dead, that cost him his life, as he knew it would. And on Good Friday, they arrested him. They tried him, they sentenced, they beat and mocked and killed him. They hung him on a cross and left him there to die. They laid his body in a tomb to rot, the way every human body has rotted since death entered this sorry, dark world. And then they said to everybody, "That's all, folks. Show's over. Time to go home. Checkmate." But they were wrong. They were wrong because the king still had one more move. I don't know what challenge you face today. Maybe there is stress at work or stress at home. Maybe you are in a marriage that is falling apart or has already fallen. Maybe there is a son or a daughter or someone that you love who is struggling or who is estranged from you. Maybe you have done the wrong thing or said the wrong thing or made a mistake that feels so big that it feels like it could never be redeemed. Maybe not. Maybe things are going pretty well and there's no crisis at all, but one day there will be. One day there will be, because death is real and death is a fierce enemy. Whatever you face, whether it is today or tomorrow, the promise of Jesus to everyone who puts their trust in him is that death is not the end. Friends, the king still has one more move. And let's have some church.